The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Good to see you all here. I am pumped up again. I shouldn't be moving this fast today, but God is moving me. I had a surgery a couple of days ago and I couldn't move. Well, not literally, but it's all God right now. You're all here today to hear from the Lord. Whatever plans you had today, whatever other plans you might have had not to come here today, this is for all of us. I'm going to talk about a man, a hero in the Bible. But things he went through, all of us in this room go through this word I'm talking about. And if we put up that chronological, biblical timeline, I'm going to go with one of the first biblical patriarchs. His name was Abraham. Abraham. And I've been enjoying this series because it really challenges us. And it should. God's word should challenge us daily. Convict us. Transform us. But we can fail, can't we? We're not perfect. But when Jesus comes back, the Bible says we will be made perfect. So don't count yourself out yet. It ain't over. It ain't over till he says it's over. Amen? Let's pray before we get into the word. God, we thank you for this great morning, Lord. We thank you for the Lord's Day Sunday here at Remnant. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and fill this place. Indwell us, God. Whatever our week or day might have had. Whatever this morning might have had. A good morning or a rough morning. We are here, God, seeking you. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this morning. Speak to us directly to our hearts, to the bone and to the marrow of our bodies and our souls, God. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I will be reading out of Genesis 22, 1 through 5, and I call this sermon, Remember the Test. Remember the test. You will hear the word remember quite a bit this morning. And you will hear the word test quite a bit this morning. Amen. So let's read. Remember the test. Genesis 22, 1 through 5. Reads like this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. In verse 5, he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. This morning, how many of you are going through some kind of physical, mental, financial, relational test? Amen? We all are. Everybody in this room. And through scripture, God has tested his people from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve, what did he tell them? Just don't eat of that fruit. You can have it all. Failed a little, huh? Possibly miserably. Because it did bring in sin into all humanity. And we're all going to fail sometimes. I'll remind you that, brothers and sisters. We are going to fail. But it's okay because Jesus already paid it full on the cross. You need to get back up and keep at it. You haven't finished your test yet. And like every good hero of God, every good hero of God will be tested. Or else, why believe in God? Why do we even need Him? If you think you got it made in the shade on your own without the Lord, we'll pray for you. But we will be tested daily, folks. It's just like when they first invented the plane. These guys invented the plane and they just put people in and go ahead, hope it flies, good luck. No, they went through a lot of testing. The Wright brothers, to be exact. These guys worked hard at it. And by the way, I'm glad it was the Wright brothers, not the wrong brothers. As I contemplated that thought of word to put in there. These men worked at it hard, day and night. To be exact, it was 1901, their first plane got off the ground. Guess how long it flew? I did my homework. 7 seconds. Did they give up there? No. They kept testing it. That same year, 1901, 5 minutes. They took. They almost made it to Imperial from El Centro, almost. They landed somewhere by the theater, that old motor view driving. Didn't quite make it into Imperial. 5 minutes. Within 30 years of 1901, within 30 years, we had jet airliners, crop dusters flying all over the world by testing. And I will say this boldly in Christ. There's many Christians, not just here, all over the world, in many churches, or people that think they got it good with God or they're right there with God. They're like that first plane. They'll try out God for a little bit, 7 seconds, boom, they're down, we're done. You know what? This ain't working out for me. I got this. I don't need God. This testing, nah, I'm good. Don't count me in. I'm going to live my life. I don't need any kind of testing from this God. Many Christians are there living 7 seconds for Jesus. Maybe 5 minutes. I have a family member and I love him dearly. And I'll keep the names anonymous. I've led him to the Lord. And he tells me, you know what, bro? I tried it. It didn't work out for me. He reminds me of that first plane, 7 seconds. And I still pray for him. My beloved brother, my baby brother. And I'll keep praying for him. Because as Christians, that's another test we should be passing, at least with a B. Pray for your family. Pray for your loved ones. And Abraham was tested continually. And 3 of them biblically. And we'll find one where Abraham was tested in Genesis 12:1. It says this, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. Man, that's tough to do. Imagine God telling you, leave everything behind and just go this way. Go west. Huh? That wouldn't be easy, would it? But if God is in the picture, why should it concern you? Let him lead you. Abraham was a young lad at the time when God started speaking to him. He told him to leave everything. And here's the second test, Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Are you kidding me? No way. How can a woman have a child at 90 years old? And a man conceive with a woman at 100? You know how? With God. With God, all things are possible. But he needs to test us. I know many other Christians personally as well that they think they become a Christian and it's all going to be a bed of roses. And when we touch that topic, I tell them, yeah, you're probably right. But in my theory, let's take the roses out and just leave the thorns and thistles. And that's how we're walking for Christ. It's going to be rough. You're going to get hurt. There's going to be some pain. But how else can you be tested genuine for God? Amen. You still love me? I just started. I love you guys. I've had this sermon under my buckle for 2 weeks. Like always, I was back there. Come on, Jeremiah, hold me back. I can't wait. Because he was testing me too. It applies to us too, everyone. From the teacher all the way to the learner. Apply and live. Apply and live. So Abraham is tested the third time, which brings us to this morning's text. where God tells Abraham, go sacrifice your son to me. I can picture Abraham by a campfire conversating with God. Couldn't you? On this topic here, this little story of Abraham's life in a nutshell. Hey, Abraham, how's it going? Pretty good, Lord. Couldn't be happy. Everything's good. Nice. How's your son Isaac? Oh, man. I tell you, what a kid. Chip off the old block, as they say. Just like his old man. I love it. I'm glad we're past the diaper stage. It's going good. Good. What a journey, huh, Abraham? Oh, yeah, Lord, it's been a journey, man. I still remember. There's a word. I still remember, God, when you called me out at a young age to leave my country, my land, my family, and just take off, go west. Go to who knows where, to meet who knows who, to do who knows what. That was challenging, God, yeah. And then you tell us we're going to have a child, me and my wife, me 100, her at 90? Are you kidding me? God's like, yeah, that was kind of funny. And on top of all that, God, we have to wait 25 years before this son is born. God says, well, how did it all work out? Abraham says, yeah, you had it in control. It was a great journey. You have any plans for your son? Oh, yeah. Tuition's a little high right now, but I've been saving money for him weekly. I got some money for him. I'm going to put him in school. You know what, God? He's really good with his hands. You know what? I think he's going to be a doctor. God's like, good. Can I make a suggestion? Sure, Abraham says. Sure, God. He's here because of you. He is the promised boy. Of course. God says, I want you to take him to Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. I didn't quite hear you right, God. The birds were flying by. It was a little noisy. Can you repeat that? I want to make sure what you said here. I want you to take him to Moriah and sacrifice him there. Could you do that? Take one of your own child and go sacrifice him. God challenged you this morning. Can you let go of that one thing you're struggling with, that one thing you do not want to let go, that one situation in your life that's just testing you and you want to cling to it? Can you let it go? Take it to the mountain of God. Where's God's mountain? Your prayer time, in your prayer closet, where no one knows where you meet with God. A secret place, as he says. He's our lover. God loves us. He loves those little moments when you're alone with him. I tell some of the people I counsel and talk with, find a little spot you always meet with God. And I'll repeat myself. It's like when you first find that first boyfriend and girlfriend, you meet in that special spot all the time. Buy that special drink or that special snack. God's the same. You got to go over there and sneak around and get on your knees. Oh, God loves that. Oh, there's my beloved. He's sneaking over here to talk with me. That's what he wants. And I'll lean on your side on this one. At times, I know we can be very busy people. Some of us more than others because of our jobs, our life careers, our situations. But guys, God is not asking for a two-hour date. He's asking, come see me really quick in that secret place, beloved, and talk to me. I just want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. How often do we give him those 5 minutes and just bawl to him and say, God, I love you. God, I need you. That'll grow your faith strong. And that'll pass you some tests you're going to go through. So why should we be tested? Why should the hero of God be tested? Why was God putting Abraham through this tough situation? First of all, my personal thought, to see if the heart or that person's life is genuine and committed. Are you genuine and committed? Are you too busy with other things at times, putting those things first? God wants you first before you put anything before him. He wants genuineness. He wants your heart, and he'll make it all right. He's not going to make it perfect. He's going to make it all right. He's going to soothe the punches of pain this world and life can throw at us, because they're going to keep coming. Problems will never stop in this world. We're surrounded, but you can have peace in the middle of the storm. You saw the movie clip. Jesus is standing in the storm. Come on, Peter. Jesus is calling all you out to test you. Come on. The sea is rough. It looks dark. You might drown, but come on now. Peter got out of the boat. Imagine other disciples hiding out and going out. You're crazy. I'm good right here. I'm comfortable. No. I tell this to people all the time as well. God didn't call you to do the possible. Oh, I got this, God. Thank you. This is easy. No, he called you to do the impossible. Why? So he can shine. So he can get the glory. He called you to do impossible things, not easy things. And also to show it's his strength, not yours. You're just that vessel and tool he wants to use and test to bring out genuineness of the love of God. He wants to see that real love come out. And some of us in this room have a lot of family splits just like me. And I'm good with it. I still love them. I still pray for my family members. I'm good with it because God knows. That's how you pass some tests for the Lord. You want to be a real hero that's get tested by God? Like I've always said it before, love those that can't be loved. And it starts with our family. It's always in the home where it starts. Then we get to our job, at school, wherever you find yourself, there's always that little thorn in your flesh. Oh, there's that person again. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I got to look at him too. I have them at work. I'll get into a little story here in a little bit about that testing. So why must a hero of God be tested? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 and 13 says this. If anyone builds on this foundation, meaning God's word, this, God's word, scripture. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their works will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to the light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Test. Fire doesn't feel good, does it? Owie! It burns. How many of you like touching fire? Oh, yeah, this is perfect. Just right. My skin just smells very roasted right now. No. None of us like to get roasted and toasted. You know what I noticed in this scripture? You got to see this, folks. There's two types of Christians here. There's two types of lives here. Do you see it? I saw it and I'll show you. You ready? Gold, silver, and costly stones is one type of Christian or person. Because when you pass this material through the fire, it melts, but it can be reshaped and reformed and used again. It'll pass the test. If you're a person that builds with stones, wood, and hay, you ain't gonna build much. Huh? There'll be nothing left. Man, these ashes, we need some good glue. You see? There's many people living Christian lives of wood, hay, and straw. That's why people collapse. That's why people say, forget this test. I don't need God. I'm good. That's why people give up and turn away. Because they're building on the wrong substance. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our lives. And if we use and act like gold and silver and precious stones, know who you are in Christ, a rich person blessed beyond your measure inside of you, you will stand the test of the fires of life that will come at you. Yeah, there'll be some tears sometimes. And it's okay. And yeah, you're going to have some indifferences sometimes. But how are you going to come out at the other end? Like that hay all burned up or gold refined and ready to be reformed and shaped for the kingdom of God to reshape your life and those around you. Because let me tell you, folks, when I led my dark lifestyle, so I thought when I was lost and partying and drinking and using drugs, I didn't know this, but I do now. I affected all those around me, and starting with my ex, starting with my children, my family members, my cousins. It's a circular range that you start hitting everyone around you that loves you, that you have no clue, that really love you. I affected my whole family, and I didn't know this until I came to Christ. And he showed me, Frank, I'm going to change you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to transform you. And your family slowly is going to start coming. But you got to serve me. Pass the test. I'm going to bring you through some hard trials. Some of your family members might hate you. Your children might not even talk to you anymore. They might kick you out of a church. But you keep passing my test and I will use you. You see, I was hurting my family around me. But now with Christ, people are starting to be drawn. And they're not drawn to me. They're drawn to what God is doing through me for other people. And you likewise. God wants to use you. If you're passing the test, you will be passed through some fires. It's not going to be easy. Jesus said it. In this world, you're going to have troubles. Again, it's not a bed of roses. It's a pasture of thorns. Walk carefully. I better not go there because that's where I messed up last time. I used to party there a lot. I better not go there. Oh, that crowd's not good for me either. Be careful. But I will encourage you here. And I boast in Christ. Once you're a well-seasoned Christian, I'm talking some years now, studied up, living for Christ, you can come in these crowds and shine for Christ. But you got to have your armor on. You got to be ready to be tested around those places that made you fall or fail or make you think you'd never progress in your life. See? When you're new, you got to be careful. There's a lot of parables where Jesus would always talk about a year. I always bring up this tree the farmer wanted to rip out. And the landowner said, no, give me a year. Let me work on it. I believe a good solid year of solid Bible, solid living for Jesus and gathering with the saints and hitting churches and Bible studies and whatnot, you will be a solid in 1 year. But if you flake out once in a while and then act like a Christian made of straw or hay, you're going to collapse. You're going to be stuck. You need to keep moving forward and going through those tests that life will throw at us. Amen? This is what I put. I wrote it down. Look, it's actually pretty ugly writing. Let's see if I can read it. To build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ is to follow a plan with pre-designed specifications. Let me repeat that. It's not up there. To build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ is to follow a plan with pre-designed specifications. What does that mean? That means our lives have been laid out for us already. It's which path are you choosing to live? Your own or the one that has those hard trials? Because here's another verse that comes to remembrance. The Bible says, Jesus says, broad is the road to destruction. The party life, woo, woo, everybody's doing it. Man, I can even hold my arms out. It's easy. That's the easy way out. But Jesus said, narrow is the gate to follow him. It's small. Again, the eye of a needle, he said, for the rich person, it's hard to enter heaven, those that have it all and have money. It's hard for them because they're too focused on things. But he said, it's easier for the camel to enter through the eye of a needle. The eye of a needle, again, is those buildings built in Israel back then. They were kind of like a pointy, round, pointy thing, whatever you call it. That was an eye of a needle. And the camel could barely fit through there when they come in the city. That's how hard it is to follow Christ. But are you down? Are you willing to be tested and start getting some A's and B's in your test in your life? Or are you going to say, you know what? Nah, I'm going to go through the broad road. It's easier. Everyone's doing it. Yep, let's go. Ooh, ooh. Somebody holla. Yeah, that's the easy way out. But you're going to be out hollering all the way to heaven when you knock on that door. Jesus is going to say, what? I never knew you. I was just asked this morning, Frank, how can a nice person, a decent person, good job. I don't think they ever cursed or lied and they helped people and they went on and on. Go, but did they know Jesus? No, they're not going to come in. John 14:6. So I showed them the verse. Look, it's right here. I didn't want to answer them. I wanted God to show them. Look what it says in John 14:6. Not up here. But it's Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way, folks. You're going to go through some tests following Jesus. But there's already pre-designed specifications. You're predestined, folks. Don't count yourselves out. You're just being tested. Again, the devil will tempt you. Come on, do it. That's okay. No one's watching. One ain't going to hurt. One little lie. That's another topic I'd like to talk about. It's a whole other sermon. Frank, what's wrong with the little white lie? It's a lie. I can't go around it. I can't say, well, you know what, Christian? It's cool. That little lie, it's okay. You know, well, God will forgive you. No. You're not being real. You're not being genuine. And guys, listen, folks. Sometimes I know, and I've lived this too, to tell someone their truth or vice versa, but it's for our good. It's for our good. It'll settle it. It'll give you peace. You need to come clean with those people. And then you're transparent and God glorifies you. King David always in the Psalms, Lord, destroy my enemies. I worship you. And he's in a cave writing most of these Psalms, how he loved God and how he had all these enemies that wanted to take him out. And he said, Lord, get them out of my way. Somebody prayed for me for a lot of years because I had a lot of homies and we like to party. And God just moved them out of the way. And now I can go visit these homies and they're hiding and running from me. Because you know why? My heart and passion when I run into them, I remember the scripture. I come as a light on a hill. I come talking to Jesus. I show them Jesus. Sometimes I don't speak. I just smile. And they say, oh, Frank, something's wrong with Frank. He stayed high on those drugs. Look at him. He's been smiling for 16 years now. It's Jesus. I want them to see that smile, that light of Christ. Because this quick, folks, this quick, that quick, I can just start partying with them. That easy. I can do it. But I am sold out. I want to be transparent to all of you. We need to be real and genuine. Is it easy? No. I have lonely times and moments. So was Jesus. Jesus didn't even have a house. He didn't have a bed. He didn't own anything. They kicked him out of the city. Remember, he was always in the outskirts, in the mountains, sleeping in rocks. His pillows were probably bushes sometimes. Don't feel you're alone. You're never alone. That's another thing people tell me. Oh, Frank, I feel so alone. Where's Jesus? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In those moments I'm at home alone, I'm not. I'm talking with my Jesus. I'm reading my Jesus. I'll lay there and talk with my Lord. I'm not alone, and you're not alone. And whatever you're going through, it, you're not alone. And whatever you're going through, you ain't the first one or the last. There's a gazillion people around the globe going through things we're going through too. Oh, I'm the only one that's getting martyred here. No one understands me. That's a lie. I lived that one three times. Come here, brother, let's talk. That's a lie. And guys, that's why you have each other. Women with women, men with men. Talk it, say it, confess it, and you'll be set free. We tend to want to carry it and forget the testing. I'll act like a piece of hay instead. Ah, that fire is going to be too hot for me. I don't like it. We will be tested. So how does a hero pass the test of God? How does a hero pass the test of God? Let's read verse 1. The first thing is you need to respond. Look at verse 1 where we just read this morning. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said,
Abraham. That's God's voice. Abraham.
And he said, here I am. He replied. Is that responding? I wish our kids were that way. Hey, come throw the trash. I didn't hear you. What? We don't want to respond. I did it as a kid. I didn't hear you, Mom. Go throw the trash. Oh, sorry, okay. We need to respond. We need to stop and make time for Jesus, as I said in the intro. We need to stop and read our word, guys. I can't instill it in you. You need to be reading scripture daily. It's like eating food. You get hungry, you eat, right? You get spiritually dry, you read his word. In the good times and the bad times. As my wife was decaying and dying in her bed, her last few months, we would sit there and read. And she would pray for me. I was like, wow. She was in the middle of the furnace of that fire, almost getting to be in the presence of God, and she would smile and pray for me. Talk about a test. Guys, we have no excuse. We need to stop making excuses for those of us that are physically able. I think I'm in a room full of physically able Christians that need to be ready for these tests and smile through it. Give God glory. Because, folks, again, it's not about me or you, what you're going through. It's about the glory he's going to get. My wife might have decayed and turned into this ugly monster, but when I see her again, I'm going to go, wow, she is beautiful again. Because we're going to have new heavenly bodies. And we can eat all we want and we won't gain weight. Is that cool? Woo, that's right. I love eating. Doesn't show much because I like to exercise quite a bit, but it's going to be good in heaven. This is just for a little while, guys. We're being tested. I've said this before. We're in boot camp. You're being trained up here to make it up there. But if you're not going to live for God and not want to be a part of his testing, And guess what? Lord, let me in. Lord, let me in. I never knew you. How can a God of creation tell his people that? Simple. They didn't want to believe. They had all their life only, for those of us that are living longer, all their life, 50, 60, 70 years, to come to Christ, and they chose not to. You know what a lot of people say? Oh, I'll wait till I'm dying in my bed. I'll wait till the last minute. That's premeditated. I'm sorry. That's premeditated. Doesn't count. God said, no, you thought about it a long time ago. And I don't know. He might let them in. I don't know. But you need to live for Jesus now. You need to give him your life and go through these tests. You need to respond. Look at Mark 1, 16 through 17. This is Jesus. As he was going along the seaside, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. How many of you are willing to immediately just drop what you're doing and live for Christ? I was 36 years old when I came to Christ. I didn't want to follow God. I didn't want to believe in God. And he came into my life. He walked by. I was probably smoking dope or getting drunk. He said, Frank, follow me. And I broke and I cried. He said, then come into my life and change me if you're real. And he did. And he hasn't stopped working on me. And he hasn't stopped working in you. Can you ask me how many tests I've had from 16 years ago till now in my ministry? Oh, man. It's in the quadrillion zeros. But it's part of our daily life, folks. That's what makes you grow. That's what makes your trust grow in God. And the situations we face, you can get through them. But when you start trusting yourself, your flesh, and counting your strength to fix this, you're going to be stuck. You're failing miserably. You're passing with an F. God would tell you. You need to respond. See, these guys were fishermen. I like what, where it says, I will make you fishers of men. It's nothing they did or they were going to do. Jesus said, I'm going to make your life different. I'm going to change your way. But if you're standing there saying, no, God, I got this, it ain't going to happen. Oh, I received Jesus. I call him in my heart and nothing really happened. Well, hello? Did you really surrender your life, or you just said it to impress all those around you? Because your cousin was there or your dad was there. Don't serve Jesus to impress people. Don't be a worship leader up here to come and impress people. God doesn't smile on that. Be real, be genuine. That's what God is looking for, genuineness. Be real. I've told many of you my truth. Some of you are like, wow, you did that? Yeah. Am I proud of it? No, but who gets the glory? God. Because look at what he's done. I told someone last night, he's not here today, in my wildest dreams, me a pastor, talking to people about life situations when I could care less about life. It was just all about my life. Me, me, me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. It's all about me. No, it's about giving. And going through tests continually. You need to respond. The testing of God is needed to grow stronger. 1 Peter 1:7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through faith is far more precious than gold. Though faith is more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day of Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. See, it's not about you. It's the things we got to go through. So when Jesus shows up, he gets the glory. There's one verse. Here's another one. James 1, 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. I need to stop at opportunity because I preach this till I'm blue in the face. To everyone in my life, at work or at church or wherever I find myself. Oh, Frank, they were yelling at me and I cussed at them. And this is going on in my life and I can't handle it. How do I do it? How did you handle it? You handle it miserably because you were snapping back. You were hating back. You were responding in your flesh. You were not responding in love. Every time you come to an affliction, every time you're facing a battle, you need to see it as an opportunity to make Jesus shine. You're Christians now. You're followers of the creator of all the universe. We need to make him shine in us. How else is he going to shine if you're responding back like they are? How is your light going to shine on top of that hill? You need to respond in love. You're a light, city on a hill. You're salt. Salt gives flavor to food. I hang out with these guys at work. They're cursing and stuff. And I'll say something that uplifts God or glorifies better words. I'm trying to put salt on their dirty conversations. See? You can do it. And they're like, oh, Frank, let's get out of here. I kill their trip, as you would say. I kill it for them. The young ones say, are you killing it? I'm killing it for Jesus all day at work. Not all of you, but I have to say this. We lived in a big home. We were kind of poor. My sister's here to, you can ask her. You know when you turn all the lights, the roaches will run? I'm like that light. I show up and the roaches run. It's true. You're a light. See? And then you respond and be genuine. That's where it's at. Where did I stop? Seize an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance fully develops, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. See, when you've gone through a lot of tests in life like I have, and God is still putting me through some good fires right now, some bonfires, if I may say, that's where you're going to be shined. That's where you get stronger and you can smile. I've said it before. They kicked us out of our house to move to El Centro. I went and sang to God and thanked him. Yeah, thank you. You threw us out. 10 minutes later, I get a call. You got a house in El Centro from a friend. Call me for some random question. Goes, Frank, don't worry. Are you crying? Yeah, by the way, I got a house. Just moved to El Centro. We got it right now. You can move in now. Because I had to move out now. And I sang to the Lord. Can you sing and thank him when you're getting fired or losing your job? Or your relationship with your loved ones is horrible? You got to thank him through that. Thank him and say, God, I know it's rough right now, but I love this person. And you're going to see me through this because I'm going to give you the glory and I'm going to praise you and worship you. I thank you for this test. I'm probably doing miserably, but by your strength, I will make it. Amen? That's where it's at. Jesus said this word, a little child can understand it. And adults have a hard time applying it. That one hurt my toes. Not about yours. You need to respond. How else can a good hero of God pass the test? Not only respond, but he needs to react. React. Look at verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. That's pretty cool, huh? Go kill your son for me. Okay, Lord, I'll be there next morning. Are you that quick to say to God, yes, I'm willing to stop that, and tomorrow I'm going to give it all that I can. You're speaking to me right now, God. Tomorrow I'm going to give it all that I can. I'm going to give it 110. Crank up the heat, Lord. Let it burn. Burn all that junk out of us. All that pride. That ego, that machismo. That's men pride for the Spanish word. Sorry, guys. Ego. You see, God wants that gone. So he can get the glory. But are you reacting? How are you reacting? A lot of us today say, but don't do. Here's another Mexican saying, oh, mañana lo hacemos, mañana. We'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we never do it. And here's a test I went through last week as I studied this sermon. There's a guy that works in the shop. And I promised God, if anything happened at work, I'd come and share it. And I have been, right? Okay, thank you. All last week, I've studying the sermon and praying and searching. And there's a warehouse across from mine. The mechanics work there. And there's this one mechanic. Híjole. That means, oh, man. Picked on me all week, complaining. He walk in my office and this and that and this worker and you. And he just went on. I would just sit there and smile. Okay. And I just hear him. I didn't say a word. Come Friday, then the last week. Sure enough, he's in my office. Frank, you know what? I know you unloaded that truck the other day, and one of your guys left a pallet right in front of my workplace. I can't drive my trucks in there. And he just went on. And I'm like, I'll take care of it right now. I'll be right there. Got my computer, got out of there, went out, ran out there, ran to my warehouse, grabbed the forklift, I drive. And as I'm driving to his warehouse, I'm coming to my forklift. He's leaning on a forklift right by the pallet with the doors wide open, drinking coffee, smiling. Picked up the pallet, said, "You go, bro." I did it as fast as I could. I think that took me 3 minutes. God bless you. And I drove away. You see, from far, like for those guys sitting back there, from far, for a second, we'll say, "Ooh, he has a forklift right there. You could have done it. You can write that. You're quick, man. Ooh, I'm going to get him in lunch. I'm going to put a roach in his sandwich or something." We start thinking the wrong things. "I'm going to get it. Look at it. What a, oh, man." No. When I started driving, I saw him from far, drinking the coffee, leaning on a forklift because he could have moved it. Guess what came to mind? Opportunity. The Holy Spirit's, "Frank, this is your opportunity. Don't let the flesh get the best of you." And I smiled, and I did. All the way, the Holy Spirit, "Opportunity, Frank," up at night. Picked it up. "Thank you, God bless you." Did it as fast as I can. I always say, "God bless you." They don't like that. It's like putting coals in the head of both. But they know how I talk. I'm a biblical man. I will always use biblical terms if the Lord allows me to throw them out there, and I throw them out there. And he stared at me, just stared at me. He was expecting a battle. "You had a forklift, dude. Come on, you could have moved it." Even I said, "Oh, come on, guy, you could have moved it." No. I chose opportunity. It's that easy, folks, because you see it from far. When you're going to fight with your wife, your friend, your schoolmate, you see it from far. It might have happened the day before. You already know the ground's pretty testy and hot. Why go there again? Opportunity, folks. React in the way you should. React like a Christian should. Respond in righteousness. That's a hero. That's how heroes pass the test of God. Amen? 1 Peter 1:6. On reacting. "So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have had to endure many trials for a little while." Is that saying, you know what, Christian, you're not going to go through stuff and little things are going to happen and you can say little white lies and you can kind of think bad about that person? No. It says you're going to go through some tough times. It's going to last a little while if you want it to, because we're the one that drag it out. You can drag out your own argument, your own indifference, your own pride. We drag it out. I made that situation from far and I said, "You know what, Lord, help me." Opportunity, okay. I saw it as opportunity. Cut it at the nip, as they say, right there at the trunk. Cut it as low as I could, really quick. We can make it big. We're the ones that make it worse. It's how you react, be it verbal or be it in an action. Because body language is kind of loud, huh? You guys do it too, huh? Oh, I don't like that person. You can see it. Or how about this one? Huh, your body language, man. It's right there. You got to react like a Christian would. Cheer people up. Make it an opportunity in your life to start cheering people up. Because there's people in our office or school that sit like this. They're hurting. "Hi, I'm okay." And their face just cracks. I don't ask them, "Can I pray for you? Are you okay?" I say, "God bless you. Would you like me to pray as I'm walking away?" I'll let them. I give them the opportunity to respond. If not, I walk away and I still pray for them. There's opportunity. But how are you reacting? We're almost done. We're going to finish early today. I'm hungry. The last point. And this is a one we need to work on, folks. All of us. All of us. Us. Yo también. In English, me too. Is to remember. A good hero of God remembers. This verse is going to blow you away. It blew me away when I first saw it. None of you saw it this morning. I'm going to show you what God showed me. Is it up there? Verse 5. And this is already Abraham ready to kill his son. Everything's set. The wood's there. He says to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I go over there. We'll worship and then we will come back." You see it? God said, "Go kill your son." And look what he said. "We will come back." How could it be coming back? It was "we." It should be, "And I'll be back because my son will be dead," right? Don't you see it? We miss it sometimes, folks. Abraham remembered God's promises. Abraham remembered all those trials and fires and tests that he went through. My son ain't going to die. My situation ain't going to leave me stuck. I remember the God I serve. He's big, mighty, and powerful. He said, we will come back. When I read that, I go, wait a minute. What do you mean we? You're going to kill your son. It's going to be singular, not plural. You see that nugget in there? Are you believing it? Or are you just doubting? Or saying, oh, forget the test. I don't want this. You're being tested, like it or not. And like it or not, we're all going to face God one day. We're all going to face it. Why don't you just take it for face value? Yes, my family will recover. Yes, my marriage will recover. Yes, my situation will change. Sad to say, though, through all the counseling I've done, 80% of people just give up. And they say, it will never change. Statistically proven. So we fall short, folks. What do we need to do? Remember. Abraham remembered all that God has brought him through. Can you remember everything God's brought you through? Remember those good moments? You're to take those good high mountain moments when God was blessing you, and when you're in that valley of no water, thirsty, hurting, lost, remember those good moments. Say, God, I remember. I know it's pretty dry and dark right now. This looks impossible. But with you, Lord, you're the God of the impossible. You're the God that makes everything possible. That's the difference. Amen? Remember. Abraham remembered. Did I put Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 up there? What does that one say? I didn't write it here. It was by faith that Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in this sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. You see, I was dead in my sins, the old Frank. I was dead. And Jesus woke me up and gave me a new life. And I'm waiting for the eternal return of him to be with him again. And see my wife and kids and friends and possibly some of you, hopefully all of you. No, I will believe I will see all of you. Because if Abraham said, we will come back, we will see all of you. But are you passing the test? I don't know where you're at this morning and what tests you're facing. But I've had some good bonfires in my life. But I needed them in my life so I can grow. So I can know the God that I serve. I don't know how big your God is. But I serve a God that doesn't even fit in the galaxies. He's bigger than that. We saw a video in the men's study called by Louis Giglio. How awesome or how great is our God? You got to see this video. I want to show it on our Wednesday night Bible study. We need to do that. We serve a God that you guys would have. It would blow you away how big he is. And we're a little speck on a little planet in a far distant galaxy. When you see this video. Guys, we serve a big God. It can be done. We need to remember the God we serve. We must remember all that he's done. We must remember God is in control of everything. And he determines the outcome of our lives. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnants. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.